CBS Makaiza on 702.
For the curious.
Live.
Online.
Smartphones.
DSTV.
And 92.7.
And 106 FM.
6 minutes after 11 o'clock, this hour we debate, I don't know how to even frame this, the aesthetics of elitism, one might say. Put more simply, if Juju, as reportedly is the case, is a member of some elite country club around the corner here in Sandton, in Inanda, is that any of our business? And is there something observation worthy about the symbolism, not just the symbolism, but the actual membership of an elite, an exclusionary club that a politician that masquerades in his overalls the rest of the day as pro-poor, pro-working class, and by night perhaps finding himself sipping all sorts of fine drinks in rooms where the only other black people are one or two fellow elite, apart from the staff that may be serving you. And of course, this is on the back of weekend reports in the Sunday Times, an article by Kanita Hunter, that this is indeed the case. And I don't know, man, I've got some conflicting intuitions about this one. I've got some strong intuitions on one side of the debate. I'm going to hold back for now because I want to know what you think. Are we simply being voyeurs about the private life of Julius Malema? Or do you think that it matters what it is that politicians do with their money, including their salaries? And is there something politically salient that is communicated in the choices that they make about where they send their kids, where they go on holiday, what their extramural activities are, and in the case at hand, what clubs they might have joined? Well, joining me for this discussion in studio here in Johannesburg is the former Gauteng Premier, Mbazima Shilowa. Mbazima, I knew that you'd have an interesting view on this one, and I want to thank you so much for coming to the studio.
No, thanks, Eusebius.
To humble Sandown.
Yes, I know. Even though I think it's really where one-tenth of our elite lives, so I thought, let me come and see how they
Thanks live. For joining the 10%. I know you prefer the 1% place, isn't it?
Yeah.
On the line down in Makhanda is chairperson of the Unemployed People's Movement, Ayanda Kota, who's got an interesting perspective as well that I managed to catch on his Facebook page. Ayanda, thank you so much for being part of this conversation.
Oh, thank you, Yusby, and also good morning to your listeners.
I'm going to start firstly with you, Ayanda. Is there anything politically relevant to observe in the fact that maybe Julius Malema is a member of some elite club?
I think it's very discomforting to learn that Julius Malema is a member of an exclusive country club. It is very discomforting to realize that our politicians are living an affluent lifestyle. It is discomforting because they masquerade, as you are saying, as pro-poor, pro-black. During the day, they are wearing overalls and they sing and chant the slogans of the working class. But in the evening, they are people that we don't know. So I think to me then the fundamental question is, are we really in the struggle to end inequalities? Are we in the struggle for egalitarian society? Are we in the struggle to end the injustices as well? Or our leaders have become part of the struggle to join elitism, as you pointed. So it is quite discomforting, yes.
When you say discomforting, can you say a little bit more what that actually means? Is it the optics? Is it the optics that you have a problem with, the actual membership? Or, let's be blunt, would you rather that he was living under conditions of poverty?
Well, it's contradictions. It's contradictions that you will have politicians that are living this affluent lifestyle, that are members of these posh clubs, in a sea of poverty, in a sea of unemployment, in a sea of injustices, in a sea of inequalities. And these are the people that are proclaiming to be socialists. Then you would, as I'm saying, there's contradiction, there's tension there, because you would expect them and that the socialism that you are talking about, the agrarian society that we talk about, is something that we mirror. It's something that is embodied on us. It is something that people can see in us. But the moment that it is absent in our lifestyle, all that you see, it is this individualism. All that you see, it is this accumulation and individualism that confirms with the system of capitalism, system of injustice, system of theft, etc. So that's what I'm talking about. So
I want to bring in Mbazima in a second here, but I just want to press you on one more point. If I frame the question differently, Ayanda, what would be your answer to the following? When someone states that they are deeply committed to a socialist or even a Marxist agenda as a politician in contemporary politics, what for you as an activist is the only acceptable kinds of way that they should respond to aspects of modernity that include things like 100,000 rand a month plus salary package if you were to become an MP, for example? Should they reject it? Should they give it to the poor? Should they remain in the township? Is it possible, to put it in Makanda terms, to be a pro-poor activist and not live in Jorza, but to be living in Somerset Heights?
Well, on my Facebook account, I've posted something that talks about commune parish. There was this discussion in the social movements, those that were keen to participate in the election, to say, if we are sending councillors to these council chambers, what do we say to them? And the agreement was that they must be subject to recall and active participation by the community. That's number one. Number two, in terms of salary, there has to be an agreement, as you have seen in your commune parish, to say whatever they earn, it will be salary of an average worker. If the average worker in South Africa, we agree that they must earn those 1,500 rand, then the councillors ought to earn that money as well, because you are not sending them there and to sink or to absorb by the culture of greed, by the culture of...
Should the same apply to an MP? I mean, I just want to get this straight. Are you telling me that you would have a bit more time for Julius and the rest of the EFF MPs if they accepted a cap of, let's say, 10,000 rand a month salary?
It's not... absolutely. Before they went to Parliament, what did they say about the benefits? Didn't they say that they would reject those benefits?
Okay, an interesting viewpoint.
That's precisely what they said.
Okay, Mbazima, I want to bring you in here. There is some fascinating and enormous complexity here, or isn't there?
Well, let me say that, upfront, I think most people may know that the EFF is not my favorite bunch of people. But I think objectivity says that I don't know if the story is true or whether Julius' membership is as a spousal benefit. In other words, is his wife a member there and therefore the benefits? But let's assume for now that he is a member. I look at this thing and think there's both an element of, let me start by saying it's par for the course, because I think they would also criticize other people for opulence. So the criticism is par for the course. But I think for me, it's based on our own view as the elite. Secondly, there's also a class element of it, not by the poor, but really the upper class thinking, no, but these ones should not really be assimilating to our situation. This place belongs to us. Let me give you...
Okay, hold on. I want to slow that down, because I think you're carving out a really fascinating position.
Yes.
Are you saying, amidst many of your introductory remarks, each one of which is fascinating, that one of the interesting things worth returning to in this conversation later is that, first of all, the poor in Alex and in Makanda actually don't give a damn? That an interesting part of the groups of people that probably are annoyed, besides bona fide activists like Ayanda, is that there will be many elite members of this club who will also have their own aesthetic disapproval of Juju, funny enough.
Yes.
So you have Ayanda that may be uncomfortable, and you probably will also have some very wealthy people who are uncomfortable.
Yes. So I'm not saying that there are no poor people who may be disgusted by it, but I'm saying at its core, I think, is we who are the elite, and also there's a class element. Because if it was not a class element, why is it the biggest beneficiary of poor working class people is the ANC. Its president or candidate at the moment is a billionaire. Nobody says the poor feel uncomfortable in this. And I'm sure he belongs to many private club for golf and other things, you know, where maybe 10 people play a day and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
It has never been brought as an issue. Or if it is, it's also just people being uncomfortable that people are joining us. It's the same as where people should live. I distinguish between living the life of opulence, showing that in people's faces. But I think I wouldn't start on the basis that says whether they will be voted in or not, it's really going to be based on whether Julius is a member there, whether he drives a Bentley or something like that. Because if that was the case...
As a matter of principle, Mazima, yes. Is such a membership, if you were to have it,
yeah.
acceptable, or is a key part of what you are putatively saying on his, in his defense about our inconsistencies? Because the latter is not unimportant, yes. but that's on the periphery of the issue.
Yes.
Because what Cyril doesn't do is walk yeah. around in red overalls.
Yes, but he doesn't walk out in red overalls. But he spends a lot of time getting shocked by what is happening in a lot of townships, in Duncan and all of that. We would say, well, same to him because he lives elsewhere, wears his suits and other things, but everybody is going around now in tracksuit. In other words, they have chosen to say, this is how we're going to wear. But others have chosen to say, we will wear suits in parliament, but during the elections and everywhere else, we'll go out in shorts, we'll kiss babies and all. In other words, what everybody does. So hypocrisy is there all around. So I'm saying, first, whether or not he decides to join, I think it's a personal issue. And he needs to ask himself whether it's something he wants to do or not.
Here's the nexus question.
But
then,
having
right?
having done okay. that, I do accept that there will be some who would also be that. But I'm saying if we say no elite membership, we must be able to say all are leaders. That's really the life they will live. Because I'm saying that if you look at the ANC's viewpoints, they will say we're pro-poor, we're here for the working class.
I totally get that. Ayanda's not going to disagree with you because Ayanda is going to accept that there's an inherent elitism in South African politics that is anti-poor.
Right.
The ANC is not going to be spared from Ayanda's work, and I know that because I know Ayanda's politics, which is why I want to ask you this question that I think is the nexus question to see whether you would disagree with Ayanda on this principle point.
Right.
Is it possible for someone to be deeply committed to socialism or to Marxism, or even if you don't have an ism, is it possible for a politician to be pro-poor
yes.
and be part of an elite club?
I think it's possible. I think it's possible. And I'm sure most people would be surprised at finding out both in terms of Max, where he lived and his, you know, parental and other things. For me, it's not so much where you live and all of that. It's do you show in your actions? And I know you will say, but actions include what membership you belong.
No, I won't, but Ayanda might.
Yeah. But I'm saying discounting that. In other words, what are your policies? Mm. And what are you trying to do and all of that? Mm. And just a passing show, there's something that Ayanda said, which is true, that that's really what they said. But I understood them differently. They said, their government. In other words, you can't say there is villages for all members of parliament. But because an EFF government, quote unquote, would abolish those and have people live everywhere, that they must not live there, they must be paying and staying in hotels, you know. So it's the same on the pace. Mm. If you were to say, let's reduce levels of those in terms of parliament, sure, I would have no issue.
Absolutely,
but it's very important that you don't say, well. Only for the EFF, because it comes from the same pot. And I think someone committed to egalitarianism, not so much Ayanda, we must be able to look not just at the political leadership, but we are in a capitalist country in which the wage gap especially in the private sector. It's very high.
So okay, we need I want to bring Ayanda back in here. Yes. Ayanda, let me just make sure that I'm not misguessing what you would say to part of what Mbazima is saying. As far as I'm concerned, there isn't really deep disagreement on the first issue. You would say, wouldn't you, that there is elitism throughout our politics, and that's part of the reason why even the ANC is in a moral crisis, right?
Absolutely right.
Okay.
Which then brings me to this question. If, and I know it's a thought experiment, but just run with me because I want to test your commitment to the normative principle. If an EFF government were to improve the lot of people in Djoza, in Makhanda, or in Alex next to Sandton, through the content of their program of action in government, in that scenario, would you still have a problem with a Julius Malema type figure being a member of the Houghton Golf Club or the Ananda Country Club?
I think it is important, Yusby, to recognize the gap and also to acknowledge the context in which we are having this this discussion. You are talking about it in a context of elitism. You would remember some of us when we were very critical of Julius Malema in the ANC League, that how they were able to collapse the government in Limpopo. And his response was, we did not join the struggle to be poor. Meaning these are the people who joined the struggle in order to amass the wealth. These are the people who joined the struggle in order to enrich themselves. These are the people who are entrenching this individualism and accumulation. And I'm merely saying there is no commitment to a just society. There is no commitment to an egalitarian society.
No, but I get that, Ayanda. So I'm trying to push you on this because, and I'm not trying to be theoretical, I'm trying to make a very important practical point, which is to say that if someone were to improve the lot of people living under conditions of poverty, would we care to the same extent about how they spend their private salary and whatever other wealth they may or may not have? In other words, isn't, or to put it differently, but it's really the same issue, which is partly, I think, what Mbazima is getting at. Shouldn't we really be most concerned with what the policy proposals are of a politician and a political party and their track record when it comes to actually implementing it? Because my answer to the same question I've put to you would be that I know we're not living in that world now, and you are right to bring it back to our actual reality, but I can bet my left kidney that if any political leader, whether it be Cyril Ramaphosa or Julius Malema, were genuinely to enact a program of action that is pro-poor tomorrow, we wouldn't give a damn where they go on holiday. This is really just a different way of expressing frustration that the content of their program of actions are not pro-poor.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
Then why aren't you directing the criticism to their policy proposals and their track records as opposed to what they do on a Sunday afternoon?
Because there's a link there. Because there's absolutely a link. Let's make an example about the situation in Makhanda, right?
Yeah.
Despite of the situation in Makhanda, despite of the council that is in a limbo as far as the operations of the council is concerned,
yes,
those councillors are just in a limbo. But if you look at the two EFF councillors, right, there is no commitment from the EFF to capacitate them. There is no commitment in the EFF to help those councillors cope with the council matters. You had a councillor in the EFF who was not attending the council meetings, right? And the Speaker of the Council from the ANC and wrote a letter to the EFF complaining. Currently, you have two councillors, right? I've attended about two council meetings.
Yeah.
And there's one councillor who have missed about two meetings. So I'm saying, and also in terms of capacity, in terms of thinking, they still need a lot of help from the EFF. But there are no programs to help those councillors. Then it tells you that some of these political parties, they really take us for granted. Because the question, if you are so committed to the emancipation, if you are so committed to a just society, you can't just throw those councillors into a deep end and leave them.
Yeah.
Because those councillors, they will tell you all that is important to the EFF is that they must give money back into the EFF in terms of subscription fee. And number two, they tell you all that is important to the EFF is that they must buy buckies and so that they are able to do the work of the EFF. It tells you that they are not committed to the cause, and it cuts across the board. So it is not only the responsibility of the EFF that these local governments across the country have collapsed. It is the responsibility of all these political parties.
Khau and Lucky, and
government is very close.
I'm going to take your calls in a second. Mbazima, we can be conceptual or theoretical about this thing, or we can talk about political sociology. Ayanda is correct that in the real world, when you increase the distance between yourself and the people that you purport to represent, you are less likely to, in fact, remember your Marxist rhetoric and to be committed to it as a councillor, as a member of provincial legislature, as an MP, or as a member of the executive. So that, in one sense, let's not police the wealth of previously poor people who through politics have now become part of the elite because we all like to be class mobile. But on the other hand, I mean, only a fool could deny that in the real world there are genuine links between our lifestyles and how we end up behaving as publicly elected officials. That's a point that you'd have to concede, even if it's uncomfortable to think that one implication of that is that we observe the private behavior of our politicians.
No, it's I don't concede it begrudgingly. I accept it. That's why I was saying that if we are consistent across the board, in other words, Julius could say to you, I live in Sishiro. Other than your favorite politician, Musi Maimane, he would say, tell me who else lives in the township. I don't know if you get my point.
Sure.
So I'm saying that, but if so for me, where you could live in Soweto and really live an opulent life there in Soweto, you can live in Alexander and not give a damn about this. So I think the point that Ayanda is making is that, yes, all of these issues that he has raised are important, but I think he's gone further to say, I don't only want to judge them by about what happens outwardly, but also in terms of in their programs, in who they capacitate. And I think in this sense, it may be that we're talking about the EFF, but really applies across the board. Because you see, where you live matters, but if you take most ward councillors, I think the municipal act says ward councillors need to live in that particular ward, right?
Yeah.
But you can live there and still have an Alex.
Yes.
I'm sure there's a councillor, there's a ward councillor in Duncan. You know, Duncan up in East London.
Village.
It's worse than Alex, by the way. So I'm saying there is a ward councillor there. There's a ward councillor, I think, in Khayelitsha and all of those. So yes, we need to capacitate them. But I think the problem is that across the political parties, we have got half measures, maybe constrained by the political settlement, maybe constrained by the economic policy, maybe in terms of the capitalist system we're in, but we've got half measures about what we could do to really change the lives of our people for the better in a radical manner beyond a rhetoric. And that would cut across.
Khau, good morning. Thank you so much for calling in.
Hello. So, I mean, I agree with a lot of what your guests have said, but I also think it's in the way in which Julius Malema and the EFF have positioned themselves. If they consider themselves an alternative to the ANC and they look at the ANC as these cheese boys of kind of, how can I, betrayed the people who've been left behind by inequality, then, I mean, it comes across as a bit much of hypocrisy in a sense, because then you call these people who are in this elite space as cheese boys, but you eat with them. What exactly are we doing? So I think there is a level of that in it as well.
Okay, fair enough.
Who are you going to vote for?
So join the conversation on 702.
Call 011-883-0702.
25 minutes before noon, we started off this hour with a question based on a report about Julius Malema being a member of a country club around the corner here. Whether that's true or not, it has led to a more fundamental question around elitism in our politics, but also the sub-question, if you are canvassing on a pro-poor ticket, how important is it that you yourself in the details of what you do with your money, including how much money you take on in your salary packages, how much of that needs to track a visible commitment to the plight of the poor and the working class? And joining me for this conversation are Ayanda Kota, who is founding chair of the Unemployed People's Movement down in Makanda, and Mbazi Mashiloa, of course, a well-known South African former Gauteng premier, and so much more than that as well. Now, the Gau asked a really interesting question, and I want you to answer it before I move the conversation forward with Ayanda Mbazima. If you're going to be laughing at cheese boys, you better not have cheese in your mouth. On the face of it, a decent observation, but do you think that it's really that simple?
I don't think it's that particular simple, because all I'm really saying is that we're not going to change society by simply saying the EFF leadership must behave differently to all of those. We expect them to. But you see, Bias, I ask myself, who was going to vote for the EFF? Whose position would be changed because they've had which elite was thinking of voting for the EFF, but would now say, well, I might as well stay with the cheese boys because they are more or less almost the same. And that's why, for me, she's got a point about the fact that, look, leave what you preach. But then principle, it's important. I know I've seen also on Twitter people say, well, but they go to parliament in overalls. So what? People go to parliament in suits, right? But they don't campaign in suits. So everyone decides, This is really what I'm going to be able to use for this or that. But for me, we've got to always return and say, beyond what they're really trying to live and aesthetics, would these people change our lives for the better?
Yeah.
In fact, I had a thought when you were away. How many people are going to vote for the DA because its leader lives in Dobsonville, in a township?
But the last point that Ayanda had made, and I thought you partly conceded this,
yes,
even though it's a slightly complicated sociological question, is that what we all desperately need the world over are politicians that are more responsive to the needs of all citizens.
Absolutely. It's considered not even begrudgingly.
No, sure.
Yeah.
But now we've got to ask ourselves, what conditions, in terms of the way in which politicians go about their business of being politicians, will increase the odds of them behaving not badly, but behaving good. And yes, Ayanda's contention is that if you reduce the proximity between the elite and people in the base structure of society, it doesn't guarantee that you will have responsive government, but it increases the odds.
I think my discomfort, and it's not disagreement, my discomfort is this. Hmm. Apartheid wanted us to live in Dobsonville, not in Roodepoort, not in Sandton. So close proximity to my people is accepting that the status quo will always remain. That's why even in our housing policies, and I'm saying our because I was in government, even in our housing policies, space in between Sandton and LX, because it's expensive, we think, well, let's see if we can do something across the freeway towards Aidenvale and all of that. So that's why I go back to the policy. Proximity is very important. I concede that. But I'm saying in an area in which apartheid special development put blacks far away, it becomes a class issue.
Yeah.
So in other words, if you are a business person, you can go and live anywhere you want.
Yeah.
But if you are a politician, you've got to sneak out of the township for a drink. And I don't think that should be... Ayanda is making a different point.
Let's bring Ayanda back in here.
Which I agree with.
I agree with you. Ayanda, can we leave Malema aside because he is a useful fire starter, but I wonder whether we can move the conversation to some genuinely complex ground without fearing that we're going to, our egos will be bashed if we have to make concessions or at least be thoughtful about potential viewpoints that we didn't hold at the beginning of the hour. I want to put this to you, right? And I also had a thought when I didn't see Mbazima while I left the studio. I mean, you know that I come from Grahamstown. You and I both love our complicated city. I lived in the poorest part of Grahamstown where I grew up. I then got bused for a couple of hours a day to Somerset Heights. And then I became part of the elite on the other side of town as a student and as a lecturer at Rhodes for six and a half years. So I literally, in terms of the apartheid spatial geography that Mbazima's talking about, I lived in each of the different parts of Grahamstown. And as you know, Grahamstown's got wonderful hills. If you're atop one of any of them, you have the perfect aesthetic of what the apartheid spatial planners had in mind. The consequence of my experiences in Makanda is that I have complicated class fluidity. I can speak coloured. I can speak English. I can speak liberal Rhodes University mumbo jumbo, and I can go to taverns in Djoza, and I'm comfortable in all of those spaces. And there is a complexity about my irreducible multi-class identity that I have. If I were to join politics tomorrow and leave my job as a political analyst and as a broadcaster, I really don't think that there's one simplistic way of viewing whether or not I'm a proper fit if we had a constituency system to run as the honourable member that could represent Djoza, if I don't live there anymore or if I live in a different part of the city. Where in your analysis, to now ask you more directly, Ayanda, is the provision for the kind of class mobility that we fought for to have against the apartheid behemoth, that implicitly you are denying someone like a Julius, who is now a degreed professional with a salary that all of us wish we could have? And it seems to me that you want him to remain downtrodden, which probably would be a victory for Verwoerd.
Oh, thank you very much. I think to me, Nia will be my entry point. It's quite surprising that in all the rhetorics, the slogans of politicians, from national, provincials up to local level, none of them have ever stood in the council meetings, in the legislature, and in the National Assembly to say, we have to pass a law in Parliament for lifestyle audit so that our lifestyles can be audited. That's number one. Number two, again, coming on the heels of this point, number two is when we talk about lifestyle audit, then we must be able to say, Eusebius and this money as a council, right? And how come that Eusebius earns 30,000 as a councillor, but he lives an affluent life, right? Mm. He lives in PE. He's a councillor here. He lives in Bluewater Bay in PE. Mm-hmm. He's got businesses. He's got posh cars, etc. Is it not because of patronage? Is it not because of corruption? So I'm saying we are raising these issues. Simply, we are using that as a base. When we raise these issues against the politicians, when we raise these issues against the councillors, it is because we are saying they must not walk right and talk left. They must not steal from us. Going back to the point, and I hope we'll not be bashed, how many members of the EFF have said, we are very worried about how the EFF funds are being used, including there was a meeting that supported of the staff members who were also raising concerns, right? So I'm saying, and the connections of the EFF and other political parties with the business people, right? So I'm saying there is absolutely no way, right? Because then it tells you parties, these leaders are really not committed to the emancipation. It is for this reason that they are not giving us, we have not thought in this country of the model to think very about the model of a future free society where quality and justice is guaranteed.
But Ariana, I'm going to stop because you there because there's a distinction that you... Okay, but you're conflating a distinction. There's a difference between a politician being criminal or suspected of criminality, corruption in the examples that you mentioned, and them making choices about how to spend their disposable income that they lawfully get as a member of parliament, for example.
Yes.
So you are dealing with the easy case. If Eusebius appears to be living beyond his means, then the economic law enforcement agencies and SARS must have a look, because on the face of it, how the hell is a councillor can he afford to have five Maseratis in Makanda? That's a very different and a very easy issue to deal with in principle than the question, if I were to send my kids to St. Andrew's College in Grahamstown rather than Nombulelo, that makes me less committed to fighting poverty in the township. I'm interested today in the latter question, not the former. On the former, you, me, Mbazima, and my listeners will agree that we need to see some of these guys having A, lifestyle audits done, and the ones that are found to be corrupt must be jailed, as in Izolo already. My question to you today is a slightly different question, and I know it's a luxurious question to ask, but we've got 24 hours in a day. We can have multiple debates at the same time. If you, as Ayanda, tomorrow got a job in Grahamstown and suddenly you had 100,000 rand a month income, would it be right for me to write a strongly worded letter to the local Grootsmail and say it is wrong for Ayanda to choose to send his kids to Graham College? They must remain in township schools.
No, it would be wrong.
Of you to take your kids there or me to criticize you?
No, it would be of you to criticize me.
But isn't this exactly the analogous situation with Julius?
No, it is not.
Where's the difference?
It is not. Okay, here's the difference. I am sending a kid to school for education. To send a school for a kid to education, you are guaranteed a future. And the education that can always be used to make a contribution in the emancipation of humankind in this country. Right? So there is no, if I'm taking this kid to education, I am not working right and talking left. The issue, and there is absolutely no tension there. So we are trying to look at the tension, we are trying to look at the contradiction, we are trying to tease these contradictions, these tensions, whereby of this expensive, posh, and exclusive country set club of Malema, with what he says on daily basis. I'm going to make an example to you. You've got a Facebook. ANC was campaigning in a village. I don't know where. You must have seen it on the Facebook. Everyone was condemning that. They are going into that area of shacks, poverty-stricken, with these posh cars and campaigning. And these are the issues that we're trying to say. It is wrong. It is wrong for Malema. We think also it is insensitive of the ANC. And if that poster and the image is really correct, it's something what happened. It is also insensitive and so dehumanizing of the ANC to also do that.
Eusebius MacKaiser on 702.
702.
Email Eusebius at 702.co.za.
Lucky, thank you so much for holding on. What point did you want to make?
Thank you, Eusebius. I think Ayanda, he doesn't appreciate the complexity of the society we're living in. And on the tapestry, we cannot fall on... I mean, EFF prophesied socialism, but I see difficulties for them to achieve that, considering the society we have already, you know. And for Malema to go and join the society that he has, It shows exactly the complexity of it, and we have to appreciate it, and we need to preach it to him that he needs to accept that socialism cannot exist on itself without capitalism in a certain form. So I think Ayanda needs to sort of like open his mind to that, that you, it is possible for a billionaire to be also a fighter for against poverty.
Lucky, let me ask you this question in the interest of time, and please give me an honest answer. Don't worry about what it will do to what you've just said. When you look at the salaries that ANC MPs are taking, and they're not settling for the levels that Ayanda is prescribing, and if you see a report of them joining possibly elite clubs where they'd be as spousal benefits or not, would you say that this is a political party that is committed to smashing capitalism?
I think if their policies are inconsistent with their objectives, it can be achieved. But we cannot take an individual self-interest to be a reflection of a collective objective.
Okay. I mean, you're beating about the bush. I'm going to give you one question with three options. Choose A, B, or C. The statement is Julius Malema is a capitalist. A, yes. B, no. C, Andias. Which one do you choose?
A.
And that's Ayanda's point, though, isn't it? Ayanda?
Yes. I think to me, what the discussion of the club is just a display of opulence. It's a demonstration of a person or leaders who are blindly fallen in love with opulence. It entrenches the culture of materialism and individualism. It has got nothing to do with policies. I think it is important for us to stand up and be able to condemn this kind of behavior in no uncertain terms.
Ayanda, I want to ask you a last question, and then I want to come back to Mbazima that I haven't engaged in a little while. I'm looking at my Twitter timeline. I'm trying to get a sense of how people are responding to both your viewpoint and Bazima's. And there's one dominant question, the question about unemployment. Obviously, the person was being presumptuous, but here's the principal point they were making. They wanted to know whether one could be part of the leadership structure of an organization called Unemployed People's Movement if you have a job. And yes. Someone else, Yanela, makes a different point and says, I wonder whether Ayanda would object to an organization concerned with black lives if it was either led by a white person or had a white person in leadership position. Now, the inference from those tweets, and there's a whole cluster of them making the same point, and these are, I can tell you now, I follow some of these folks on social media. They are as committed to a more just and equitable South Africa as you and me. The point that they're making is that when it comes to representativity and politics and identity, are we going to be so reductionist that you can only be regarded as a genuine representative of a particular idea or group if your identity perfectly matches every single element or characteristic of people that are in that group? What do you say to that?
Well, I think to me, the point, I might not be responding to your point, you see, but
I don't know if you get the question. Can an employed person be part of your leadership as the Unemployed People's Movement?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, you see, yes. I think to me, words, the point that I've made, words acquire meaning in action. Mm. Our action must show and demonstrate to our people on a daily basis that we are committed to this cause. It's all that I'm trying to say. We must not walk right and speak left. Mm. And I think our action, it's all that I'm trying to say. Right? Because, I mean, we can speak about the policies. I mean, ANC, I'll make an example about ANC Freedom Charter, though I don't agree with the Freedom Charter. You've got Freedom Charter. Number of people have left the ANC, including Nomsa, to say ANC have betrayed the Freedom Charter. You've got leaders. You've got a policy, but you still have leaders. And people have left to say there's no commitment on this. Because you've got leaders who have fallen in love with the opulence. You've got leaders who are just displaying this opulence. You've got leaders who are entrenching this materialism. So you can have good policies. Good policies on themselves are not enough.
Okay, now I get you. Yeah. Bazima, I'm going to give you the last 90 seconds. I want you to return to something you outlined at the beginning, and you can make, in addition to answering it, you can make a final comment. We haven't had time today because I didn't want to go there, even though I desperately wanted to talk about what our reactions do this kind of news, in inverted quotes, say about us rather than focusing on Malema? And there is a kind of moral or aesthetic panic that not just activists on the ground have when they hear of this kind of thing, but also those of us that think that Malema is not one of us. And in, God forbid, if I should go to the Ananda Country Club this afternoon and there is this man that I think can eat my babies. And interestingly enough, Ayanda's commentary would unite him with many a middle-class suburbanite.
Yes, that's why. That's a, you're right. That's really the point I was making about it's both a class issue and elitism. In other words, we can belong to that club, you know. We've earned our rights. We live near Inanda. You know, we work at this or that private place. So yes, we can say we understand poverty, we look after everybody else, but really we can go there. But somebody else can also belong there, but not Julius. Not because it's Julius, but also because he wears overalls, wants to nationalize and all of those sort of issues. Yes. So I think for me, there is that element. And I was using this class issue because it permeates many of our discussion. We've taken a view, there's no class mobility. You're born poor. Even if you move up in life and all of that, you've got to pretend that I live the life of the poor. And lo and behold, it's found at night you sneak out to Thabo instead of to a Shebeen in the township. And I think that's really what we should get away from.
Yeah, absolutely wonderful conversation. Bazima, thank you so much. Ayanda, thanks so much. And to every single person who tweeted, I couldn't get to all of your tweets. Some really hilarious one. One person in particular, I got to just read that one, who said, quite frankly, I'm still going to vote for EFF despite Ayanda's critique, because all that I care about is the content of their policy proposals, not whether Juju has amagwinya or croissants for breakfast.